Welcome to the podcast Як ти, Ukraine Life. Як ти means how are you in Ukrainian. I am your host, Lucia Cirki, a former correspondent, now a book author and a freelancer. This is a very special episode of Як ти, Ukraine Life. Usually, this podcast is all about people living in Ukraine, sharing their very personal experience of Russia's war against Ukraine, but this podcast episode is dedicated to someone who can't speak herself anymore, to the Ukrainian journalist Victoria Roshina. Victoria Roshina was a Ukrainian journalist. She was detained by Russian forces in eastern Ukraine, on territory that is occupied by Russian forces. She was detained twice in eastern Ukraine, first in spring 2022 and second in August 2023. Her death was announced to her family on the 10th of October 2024, 2 weeks prior to this podcast recording. She died on the 19th of September while being in Russian captivity. Her death was only 3 weeks after announced to her family by the Russian Ministry of Defense. The Russian authorities did not name a cause of death. The body of Victoria Roshina is still in Russia while I'm recording this podcast episode. It's unclear when her body will be returned to Ukraine as part of an exchange between Ukraine and Russia. While the official cause of death might be unknown for the near future, it's already clear who is ultimately responsible for her death, the people who held her captive. Victoria was held captive for one reason alone, her work as a journalist. I had the opportunity to talk to the editor-in-chief of Ukrainska Pravda, Sevgil Musaeva. Ukrainska Pravda is the leading online newspaper in Ukraine. I hope for your understanding that Sevgil Musaeva is very busy and she has a very tight schedule. And she was attending a conference while we were recording this podcast episode, so I hope for your understanding that the podcast audio quality could be better. This podcast episode is dedicated to Victoria Roshina, a Ukrainian journalist who died while she was in Russian captivity. My name is Lucia Cirki, and you're listening to Як ти, Ukraine Life.
Ну, я думаю, що треба робити. Давай я тебе ще наберу, буду в аеропорту, бо зараз, коротше, так. Я думаю, що я так. Окей, так, давай.
Hi, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Sorry for being late. No, it's crazy day, another crazy day, so sorry.
No need to apologize at all. I'm very happy that you have time for joining me on this podcast. So please welcome to the podcast Sevgil Musaeva, editor-in-chief at Ukrainska Pravda, the leading online newspaper of Ukraine. Thank you so much for taking your time and sharing your memories today with us of Victoria Roshina. Sevgil, Victoria Roshina worked for your publication, Ukrainska Pravda, among others. How would you describe Victoria to someone who never met her?
Thank you for this question. Victoria was one of the most bravest journalists I met in my career. She was 27 and she has a mission. She had a mission to cover the life of Ukrainians in occupied territories. And it was her goal. And she was the only one reporter who covered occupied territories of Ukraine. And so many times we have discussions that, Vika, you have to stop doing that because it's very dangerous. You already was captured by Russians in 2022. But for her, it was inappropriate not to cover that, not to go. And I think that it was also about her humanity because she was obsessed with people who decided to stay in this in the occupation, and she wanted to know what they faced with which obstacles, with which challenges how actually Russia also commits a human rights violation in occupied territories. So she covered a lot of important issues in the occupied territories, and for her, it was a goal, it was her mission. And I'm very proud that we had this cooperation with her in this topic. She was our freelancer, and she worked for other medias as well, covering occupied territories, but last her stories were published by ABBA media.
Could you describe to someone who is not so familiar with the situation in Ukraine, like, what were the reasons that she was the only Ukrainian journalist reporting from the territories that are currently occupied by Russian forces?
Yes, you know, Russia started an occupation in 2014 and then continued the occupation in 2022. And we lost an opportunity to go to these territories in 2022. I mean, first of all territories who were seized by Russia in February 2024 or March or spring 2024. First of all, Zaporizhia region, such cities as Melitopol, as Mariupol, as Berdyansk, and also Victoria traveled to occupied Crimea and occupied Donetsk to cover how actually the life of people changed after the occupation in 2014 and how they maintain the life in new obstacles. Why it's so difficult? Because Russia arrested journalists, Russia targeted journalists who cover some critical and sensitive topics for her. First of all, the violation of human rights, and Victoria did a great job with investigation, for example, about deportation of kids. She published this investigation in our media, so we published this investigation in our media. And Victoria discovered many camps in occupied territories of Ukraine and in Russia, actually in which, in these camps, all these children were deported. And she acknowledged all people who committed this kind of crime. So that's why, of course, she was a target, I will say, and actually the difficulty of this war and the risk of this war is absolutely understandable from 2022 when she was first time captured by Russian forces and spent 10 days in Russian captivity, and actually we did everything possible to release her.
What would you say, what motivated Victoria to pursue her work so determinedly?
I think that for her it was important, and we had many discussions about that issue. She told me that for her it was important because she was the only one journalist who covered that, and she told me that she needs to go to occupied territories because it's important, because she takes care of people, she wants to cover the stories, and she wants to tell the truth about the conditions in which Ukrainians live in occupation. One more time I will repeat that it was definitely about her humanity and about importance of this war, because this war also not about territories, it's not about territories, this is about values. And I think Victoria protected these values, values of humanity, values of freedom of speech. So even in these terrible conditions, she was able to continue to providing the information for her readers about the life of Ukrainians. And actually this is something we miss in Ukrainian media now so much, because as I mentioned, we don't have an access to this territory. It's extremely heavy to go there, it's dangerous. But for people who continue to be interested in what's going on in these territories, it was extremely important. Her work was extremely important, and of course received so many positive feedback when she reported about the life of Ukrainians.
Like, so far no cause of death has been officially confirmed yet. Why is it clear for you that Victoria Roshin was killed by Russian occupying forces, you know, why is it?
Gaza received a letter from Ministry of Defense. This is the only evidence we had from Russian side. And actually, our ombudsman office also confirmed the death of Victoria Roshina. They also received an official statement. But today, United Nations asked the Russian authorities to confirm it publicly and to confirm it officially in official level, because still we have only this letter from a Ministry of Defense that was signed by someone with a surname Koch, that Victoria Roshina died. We don't know now about any conditions, any reasons why she died. Actually, she had a status which calls incommunicada. What does it mean? So she didn't receive any accusations, official accusations from Russian side. So they literally detained her more than for 1 year without any official accusations, which is absolutely illegal and inappropriate. And I think this is a big violation of human rights and international humanitarian law, because she didn't have an access to any lawyers. She didn't have an access to relatives. She didn't have access to medical supplement, for example, or like any help or any assistance from the side. Actually, Russia confirmed that she's in prison, but they didn't tell us where. Actually, only on May 2024, which is also inappropriate. Yes, and
what is known to you about like the circumstances, you know, how did she end up in Russian captivity? What do you know about that?
Actually, we are still trying to understand that. We have some information from women who were in the same prison with her and were released. I'm not sure that I can share now this information. But what we know that that she spent time from August to spring 2024 in Melitopol. So she was in jail in Melitopol, and we know which exactly jail. And then they moved her to Taganrog. And then when she appeared in Taganrog prison, it's actually was a confirmation from Russian side that she was captured. Before, we had no idea about where she is and in which condition she is. But even with all requests were sent to the Russian side.
I'm sorry for interrupting you. You know, like, can you explain, like, to people who are listening to this podcast and they are might not so familiar with the situation? Can you explain for them how is it possible, you know, that someone is detained for so long and there is no information, and why even international organizations like the ICRC cannot help? Can you explain?
Yes. This is typical Russian behavior. We have a lot of people with the same status as Victoria had, which is incommunicada. So Russia just detained these people without any official accusations, and they just, I will say that this is kind of absolutely illegal, even just because those people, they don't have an access for any rights. And even in most terrible regimes now in the world, you still have an access to the lawyers. You still have an access to the international organizations. But in case of Victoria Roshina, she didn't have this access for more than 1 year. The only one contact was in August 2024, when her dad had an opportunity to talk with her first time. Since she was captured in August 2023, so more than 1 year without any acknowledgements about where she is, in which prison, in which city, in which actually even country or place. So this is terrible, but I want to pay your attention that the same status have thousands and hundreds of Ukrainian civilians. And what else I want to add, that all civilians from Ukrainian side who were captured in these occupied territories, they have to be, they need to be released. First of all, release. We are not talking about exchanging the people, because we can exchange the prisoners of war, but we can exchange civilians without any even accusations, official accusations from. So it wasn't about crime. So they just detained her and they kept her in the prison for more than 1 year without any official accusations and that she committed a crime or so. She was reporting the stories. She had her professional goal to go there.
When you talked with her about the risks, you know, that she's facing when she's traveling there, you know, what was her response when you told her, like, it's very dangerous to go there and you might risk your life? What were the replies of Victoria?
Yes, we had this discussion many times, and she actually did the same with other editorial rooms, not only with ours, with our editorial room. So she was 100% sure that this is her mission, and she had to go. And she didn't listen to any editors, she didn't listen to any suggestions that it could be dangerous and you have to stop doing that.
You mentioned the place where she was detained in Russia, in Taganrog. What do you know about the conditions, you know, mm-hmm. in this place? You know, what did other Ukrainian soldiers or civilians who were kept there tell?
It's very important. Yeah, the conditions in Taganrog are terrible, and we received these evidences from many, many people who were in this prison, who were released, actually. And we also have some information from Russian lawyers who help to protect our Ukrainian people in this Russian prison. What they told us that they have systematic tortures inside the prison, not against women, but against men. Can you hear me?
We can't hear Sivgil anymore. There seems to be a problem with the connection. I hope that is going to be resumed soon. She is joining us besides a conference, so she's actually attending important meetings, like a conference, and I hope the connection will be back very soon.
Can you hear me now? So the question was about Taganrog, the prison of Taganrog. So we received many witnesses from people who were in this prison that people face in this prison with systematic tortures, with systematic violations of human rights. And for usually we are talking about women, not we are talking about men, not women. So we have a conversation with some women who were released. They told us that they heard kind of the sounds of tortures, but from usually there were sounds from men, not women. So they didn't use a force and they didn't use a tortures against women, but against men, yes, they used it. This is the first one. The second one, the woman I talked with told me that the food was terrible. Actually, last month, they gave to this woman kind of a potato that was already like in bad conditions, and the food was terrible. What they told me that yes, the food was terrible. And
what you just said, like that, you know, women who shared their experience in Taganrog told that they were not like tortured, or that men were more like subjected to torture. Would you consider Victoria's death a new level of brutality towards Ukraine, that Ukrainian journalists are now, like, even female ones are killed in captivity?
I don't know exactly. So we are now trying to find any information about what we know from her father that she actually announced a hunger strike in August, and actually the call she received from father in the end of August was about stop hunger strike. So we don't know what happened after that. So after 30th of August, we don't have any information. We know that on 7th of September, she was released from this prison, but and actually we were waiting for her in exchange on an exchange that took place on 13th of September, but she didn't appear in this exchange. So what happened between 7th of September and 19th of September, when actually the official date of her death, we don't know.
Victoria was traveling to the occupied territories without like a specific assignment. You consider that you know that she was not affiliated with a certain outlet, news outlet in Ukraine, made it that easier for her, or was it on the contrary more dangerous for her to travel there without, you know, like having signed a contract with a news outlet in Ukraine?
This is a hard question, actually, because she never shared with us the way how she traveled to the occupied territories. I think for her it was important to stay anonymous in these territories. So that's why, of course, because it could be dangerous to be a journalist officially in these territories if you're not kind of a Russian propagandist. So maybe for her it was better to use anonymity, and that she didn't have any assignment, official assignment from any editorial room.
At the very moment, there are 29 other journalists like detained by Russia currently. I assume that you, as an editor-in-chief of a Ukrainian news outlet, you are faced many times with like questions, you know, like from your reporters that you're responsible directly for, you know, whether they can travel somewhere, whether they can report from a certain place. How is that for you personally, you know, like to decide or to be within these discussions, you know, where you can send your reporters and where it is too dangerous? Can you share a little bit of insight on that?
Journalists could be a target in any territories in Ukraine. For example, more than 1 month ago, the Reuters team was targeted by Russian army in the city of Kramatorsk, and one of security guys died in this missile attack. Russian propagandists then confirmed that they were a target. What we have in our safety security norms, we don't stay in any hotels, and or we travel to some kind of front lines with presence of military forces, of course. We don't travel alone, so we have people from military forces who help us. And of course, any travel to occupied territories of Ukraine, because it's dangerous.
So you would never like allow someone from your team, like from the reporters you were responsible for, or
never
employees, you won't send them to, like, you won't allow them to travel?
No, it's dangerous, and actually we don't have an opportunity even to travel to these territories, because you have to cross like Russian border, and if you're kind of crossing Russian border, yeah, it could be difficult.
What can be done at the very moment, you know, like to support like Ukrainian journalists and their cause? What can be done?
As you mentioned, we have 28 journalists now in Russian prisons, and we have to do everything possible. I mean, international community and international human rights organizations, first of all, journalist organization, we have to do everything possible to release these people. And I'm talking about releasing the people because they are civilians. They have a special status as a journalist. They didn't commit any crimes because journalism is not a crime. They just were trying to provide accurate information about what is going in these territories or helping the people. And we are not speaking about exchanging process because they are not prisoners of war. We have to release these people, and even if it could be difficult, still I just want to pay an attention of different international organizations to visit these people, to understand in which condition they now. For example, Red Cross have to visit, and Red Cross have to send many requests towards the Russian side with questions where people, where those people are, in which prisons, and to understand in which condition they are.
Thank you so much, Sivku, for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you. Sorry that it was a little bit too fast, but yes, I have a very difficult schedule these days, and I'm traveling, and you know.
Oh, now you're in London. Okay, and you're traveling further too?
I'm traveling back to Poland. I'll be in Warsaw tonight, and then tomorrow I'm traveling back to Ukraine.
I wish you a safe travel back home. Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.